So last week, we looked at the authority of Scripture, and I did like a case study on the civil magistrate, Romans 13, and saw how Paul is actually teaching that a magistrate is called by God to rule in accordance to his word, in accordance to his law. So if we want to see godly magistrates, we'll see that when they're ruling according to the law of God. And God tells us that magistrates must rule their land, legislate, looking at the scriptures as the supreme authority. Now, if a magistrate is called to do that, then naturally we as individuals are called to also govern our own lives by the word of God. What we believe, how we live, we're bound to keep the law of God. And as Christians, we are called to keep the law of God, not to be saved, but because we are saved. We are saved, right? The scriptures tell us that in order to be sanctified, we are sanctified by the word and by the spirit working in conjunction with the word. And the end goal of the scriptures given by Paul is announcing who Christ is in the gospel, but also for us to be built up in Christ to perfection of the saints. And that's what we read last week in 2 Timothy 3:16. And so every Christian is to seek the scriptures every single day. We should be in the scriptures every day. We should be reading the scriptures every day. It's our bread and butter, right? For our soul. We should be doing this. And I know it's hard, but we should strive towards that. This is how we gain wisdom and knowledge. This is how we get to know God more and more. And scriptures should be our life. Scriptures tell us how we are to live holy lives. How to be complete. So there's nothing lacking when it comes to how we should grow in our sanctification, grow in our grace and knowledge of Christ. Nothing is lacking in the scriptures in teaching us how to do this. Scriptures tell us all of that. They teach us all of that. This is our authority. Because the word of God is a perfect rule of living for God. So I want us to look if Colin, could you read for us? Are you able to read for us? Okay. Can you read for us Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 2? Amen. So here in verse 2, God is telling us what a righteous nation looks like. A righteous nation looks like a nation that seeks God, who seeks God and following the laws of God, legislating in accordance to the law of God. It says they forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. So, you know, if we want our nation to be blessed of God, we have to be seeking God. But if our nation is not seeking God, how can it be blessed of God? Right? It goes hand in hand. And so the same for you as individuals or we as a church. If we want to be blessed, if we want to delight in God, we should seek God. We should seek his ordinances, and we should take delight in approaching God, especially in public worship, because that is the pinnacle of the church's activity, is coming together to worship God as a church. Colin, can you read for us and then give us an example now? I want to pick out a case study here regarding the authority of God over our life, on how we are to live, and what it means to take delight in the Lord, by looking at Isaiah chapter 58. So, Colin, if you could read Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14. Thank you. So here we're being taught, okay, keeping the Lord's Day holy is an ordinance of God. It's one example. There are many other ordinances. There's 9 other ones, right, at the very least, of the law of God. And here's an example. He's saying, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, right, don't give your back to the Lord's Day, but give your back to doing your own pleasure on the Lord's Day. If you do that, the Lord will honor you. And if we honor the Lord's day, we honoring the Lord. And the Lord will honor us. Okay? He says, what does this say here in Isaiah? Shall honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thy own pleasures, nor speaking thy own words. Okay? This is what, you know, Scriptures always talk about, don't seek your own pleasures on the Lord's day, like sports and things like that. This is God's word telling us. So when we talk about the authority of the Scriptures and seeking to be closer to God, this is one example. We saw with the civil magistrate what their duty is to honor God, to seek God by legislating their policy over the land, their rule over the land in accordance to the law of God. And we as individuals and we as a church are to do the same. Isaiah 58:2, it tells us, if you seek my ordinances, take pleasure in approaching God, you'll be blessed. And here's one example. He says, if you take delight in the Lord, you take delight in the Lord, meaning what? Taking delight in keeping the Lord's day holy, as an example, he says he will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. We look for blessings from God, but many times we look for blessings from God that are more in line with our own appetite, our own pleasures, instead of what the Lord says should be our pleasure. And for example, here's keeping the Lord's day holy. And so here again, we see the authority of God's word over our life. Now, many times people say, well, I'm not convinced that the Lord's day should be kept holy. You know, I'm not convinced of the fourth commandment. I don't want you to bind my conscience. My conscience, I'm not convinced in my conscience that the Lord's day is for today. And that's a product of the disarray of the church today. That's a product of the disarray and low standards of church officers of today. That's a product of church officers trying to circumvent the law of God to please men. And they appeal to all sorts of theological ideas in order to circumvent the Lord's Day. Even within Reformed churches, you hear this all the time. Many Reformed theologians of today will say, well, I hold to the continental view of the Sabbath. Well, what is the continental view of the Sabbath? There is no continental view of the Sabbath but this. Erastianism, that's the continental view of the Sabbath. Erastianism is that doctrinal belief where the state rules over the church. Okay? The state ruling over the church. And in the continent of Europe during the Reformation, the many different city-states like Geneva and Switzerland, parts of Germany, the state was ruling basically over the church and was preventing the reformers from doing a wholesale reformation. And this is why you hear them talking about instituting all sorts of other things that in Scotland was being abolished, and which gave rise to the continental view of the Sabbath, because the civil magistrates were the ones undoing or undermining the Lord's Day. But if you read the theologians, like the author of the Heidelberg Catechism, Yersinius, he says that the civil magistrate must uphold the Lord's Day as holy. If you read De Bries, who wrote the Belgic Confession, he teaches that this Lord's Day, the Sabbath, must be upheld by the civil magistrate. And I can go on and on. Bucer wrote that the Lord's Day must be kept holy, and the civil magistrate must protect the Lord's Day and enforce it with the sword even. Okay? That's what the reformers on the continent taught. But today, the church is in such a disarray to try to circumvent the authority of the Word of God that they put up all these loopholes, or they find ways around it to please man and to say, well, okay, I won't bind your conscience. But we need to understand that the scriptures bind our conscience. The scriptures are to bind our conscience. Our conscience is not superior to the scriptures. Our conscience is not an authority over the scriptures. The scriptures are an authority over our conscience. I'm going to have you guys read some verses. See, Joe, I'm looking at you, Joe. Romans 15, verse 4. And then Sean, I'm going to have you read Psalm 119. The whole thing, I'll just play. Psalm 119, verse 4, and then down 33 and 35. So just go to 119, I'll get to you. After Joe reads Romans 15, verse 4.
For whatever was written previously was written for our instruction, that by endurance and by the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope.
We might have what?
Hope.
Hope. So our source of hope, our source of encouragement, always the scriptures. Okay, not our conscience, not anything else, but the scriptures. Sean, Psalm 119, verse 4.
Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently.
Then down 33 through 35.
Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yeah, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight.
And verse 45.
And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts.
So we hear the term liberty of conscience, but the scripture says our liberty is found in walking in the precepts of God's law, in God's precepts. We want to learn how to live. We want to learn how to live for Christ. We want to know what is God's will for our life. Look to the law of God. Look to the law of God. The law of God for the Christian is a light, is the lamp for our feet as we walk in this pilgrimage towards heaven. It is not a burden for the Christian. It is to be a delight. Just like we read in Isaiah 58, the Lord's Day should be a delight for us. The precepts, the ordinances, the law of God should be a delight for us. We shouldn't look for ways to circumvent the law of God. We should submit to the law of God with joy. With joy. And yes, we are all growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. We are all growing in our understanding of God and of his law. And we may say, yeah, I'm not totally convinced of this, but it shouldn't stop there. It should be, I'm not totally convinced of this. Teach me. What? Okay, you say the Lord's Day is for today, that we should supposed to honor it. I don't believe that because that's not what I've been taught. But teach me why. But if we say, I'm not convinced of that, my conscience says, no, I don't want to do it because I've been taught something different. And then you cut yourself off just like that and blow it off. Then you need to ask yourself, who's the authority in your life? Is it the Word of God or is it your conscience? Is it the Word of God or is it your conscience? Okay. And so when we come to the law of God, we need to ask that question. Am I going to submit to it or am I going to hold on to what I've been taught in the past because I want to do my own pleasures or I want to do my own will with that, this, that, or the other? I could bring up the second commandment as another example. I could bring up other commandments that happen in other churches. Right? The seventh commandment says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Right? Well, there's some churches saying, well, you know, we think that if you are attracted to the same gender as yourself, that's fine because the scriptures don't condemn it. And they circumvent the law of God that way. Right? There are conservative Presbyterian churches of today where men are being ordained to the ministry that are attracted, okay, sexually attracted to other men. And they circumvent the law of God to defend that practice. Right there, we all gasp, right? But we don't really gasp when people say, well, Lord's Day may not be for today. And we minimize that. Whereas in the Old Testament, keeping the Lord's Day and profane, but keeping the Lord's Day is something that is to be highly favored, and the profanation of the Lord's Day is to be decried. Profaning the Lord's Day brings judgment, but we don't see that as severe today. But we look at the Old Testament and say, wow, they're throwing babies into the fire, live babies, and we gasp at that. So we need to, again, look at the whole counsel of God. Look at this whole scripture and ask ourselves, is this our authority? And we talked about this in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 last week. That the word of God, all of the whole counsel of God, teaches us what is righteous and what is good and what is holy. We shouldn't be cherry picking what we think is for today or what is God's word to govern how we are to live. Okay. See, Ramon, can you read for us Galatians 6:16? And then Colin, can you read for us Philippians 3:16? And Joe, can you read Psalm 19, verse 7? So whenever you guys are, Ramon, when you're ready.
6:16?
Yes.
And as many as walked according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon Israel of God.
Okay. So this rule, as many who walk according to this rule, being the law of God, the word of God, peace is a benefit, is something that's given to us. Philippians 3:16.
Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing.
Man, so we are to look at the word of God as the same rule. We are to walk in it. And Psalm 19, verse 7. Okay, I must have thought of another verse there. That's fine. Psalm 19 talks about the law of God. The first part talks about the creation. The second part is the law of God. I probably put the wrong verse down. But nevertheless, the law of God is God's word. right? That is the one rule we are to follow. That is the one path we are to walk on as Christians. And as non-Christians, the law of God is there to condemn them, that they are in sin, that they are not looking at God's law as their authority. And it condemns them and points them to their need for Jesus Christ. Okay? So we need to recognize these truths, that the ordinances of God, His precepts, should be our delight, that we should seek them out. We should not look at them as a burden. Christ said, "Give me your burdens, I'll give you my burden, because my burdens are light." His law is a light burden for a Christian. Christ said, "If you love me, you shall keep my commandments." So if we love Christ, we should seek to keep his commandments. Okay. Any questions? Any questions? No questions? Okay.